Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster Rose. Did I hear that right about the royal baby's name? George Alexander Louis. Well, when I hear Louis, I kind of think maybe it's because I'm a child of the 60s, but I think of that song, Louis, Louis. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's what the royal baby will be called. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday, July 24th, 2013, now upon us, into the afternoon hours, and we are here each weekday at 12:04 until 1 o'clock on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, also a station that has really good reach, can be heard all over southern Arizona. We're live streaming the show at the BuckmasterShow.com website and the station's website, KVOI.com, so you can listen while you're at work, at your desk, or wherever. You can hear our program anytime, anywhere, by visiting, on your schedule, BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com, as we podcast the program. Also links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun at GVNews.com, and the homepage of the award-winning Blog for Arizona at BlogForArizona.com. During this noon hour, we'll get things going with Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat from District 3. Then at 30 past the hour, David Safir of Blog for Arizona will join us for our monthly Blogger Beat segment. If you have a question or comment, you can call us anytime during the hour at 790-2040. Perhaps you would like to weigh in with Supervisor Bronson about where you would like to see the Pima County bond money spent. We'd love to hear from you on that. You can also follow us on Facebook at Buckmaster. Actually, it's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. We have a growing presence on Facebook, and we welcome all new friends to the program. Now let's get going on the Buckmaster Show live line with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Supervisor Bronson, how are you this afternoon?
I am fine, Bill, and it sounds like you are, too.
Doing real well. Started the show talking about the royal baby. Do you like the name George Alexander Louis?
You know, I will defer to the parents.
Yeah, we don't want to upset any of the folks out in the audience who happen to be called George or Alexander or Louis, so we'll just move on. More than 3,300 Pima County residents have responded since Friday, Sharon, to the county's online survey about what capital improvement project should be considered in a future bond election. The online survey will be available through next Friday, August 2nd, and it's easy to take the survey. It takes about 10 minutes. It's pima.gov/bond survey. Supervisor Bronson, narrowing down this list is going to be very challenging, isn't it?
It will be extremely challenging. Just to give you some historical perspective, our capital improvement program in the past has sustained or been responsible for generating about 14,500 jobs, and while making critical improvements to our capital infrastructure. So a future bond election is, I think, a very critical need in this community. But what we do need at this point in time is for folks all over Pima County, which is over 9,000 square miles, to weigh in on what they think the important regional capital projects should be.
Well, 790-2040, you can let us know right now, the Buckmaster Show listeners, 790-2040. Perhaps you would like to vote right now for a particular project. Why don't we kind of talk about the overview here, the big picture. What do we have? About 100 projects in the mix? Is that what we have?
I think there have been more submitted since the initial survey, but you're correct. But these are divided into five primary areas. First one being historical, cultural, and natural area conservation. The next large sector is public health. flood control, neighborhood reinvestment, and government facilities. Third is libraries and community facilities that include museums. And then fourth is job growth, education, and workforce training. And fifth, I mean, again, these are not in any particular order, but the fifth one is parks and recreation. So of all those projects, that's how these particular proposals have been categorized.
It has been quite a few years since the last bond election, 2006, and part of the reason I think there was the delay was, of course, the economy went south. Isn't that the main reason why we haven't had one since then?
What we made when we did the 2000, we made a commitment to voters with the 2006 successful election that we would keep, and bonds are paid for with the secondary property tax, that we would keep that at or below a certain level. And if my memory serves me, it was about 80 cents on the dollar. And then as our assessed valuation has declined, that will increase the tax burden on citizens. And so we're not moving forward until everybody is held harmless and nobody will be paying anything different than they did with the last bond election. So it's still a work in progress, and part of the work in progress is hearing from residents in Pima County as to their priorities. What we have heard initially is that job growth and workforce training and parks are, and natural area conservation are items that some residents would like to see move forward. But we haven't heard from everybody. And, you know, it's frankly just astonishing that since we released this information, we have had that many comments. That's because people are engaged, and that's what we need.
Yeah, people really are engaged. And one of them who would like to ask a question about if the survey matters, Peter is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Peter, you're with Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon. I heard on the radio this morning that it doesn't matter how the vote goes in terms of a bond vote, that a simple majority of the Board of Supervisors can change how that bond money is allocated. Is that true?
We have a truth in bonding ordinance, and that's a excellent question, because I think we have to guarantee the voters that what they want is what they get. And what we do is how we do this is through a process. Before anything gets to, and as you know, circumstances alter cases, and the bond, the life of the bonds, I mean, this bond period is typically 10 years. And the facts on the ground may change, but may alter the cost of particular projects. And we can't know that for certain until we actually get in there and try to accomplish them. But if there is a change needed or necessary, that goes to the bond committee. The bond advisory committee first is reviewed fully by them. Is vetted in the general public, and then comes to the Board of Supervisors. And so what really matters in this instance, as you look at the past bond elections, and we actually had an audit, we pretty much delivered on time exactly what we said. I think the one hiccup in that was the court building. We had no idea there was a burial ground underneath the area where we were going to erect the new court building. That added some cost. But what's important is that there is a public vetting, an extensive public vetting before it gets to the board for a vote. And so you individually and all who are concerned need to let your voices be heard should there have to be a change in plans. But as we look at the past bond elections and we look at the audit by the state government, we pretty much made our commitments, except in those extraordinary circumstances where there has been something on the ground that we were not aware of at the time when the piece was put before voters.
I had a question from a viewer who did not, a listener who did not want to go on the air, but is curious about the Pima Animal Control facility. Will there be an? Is that on the table as one of the proposals? A new facility?
We are already in the process of remodeling that facility. I think there are some additional changes to that. But as we discuss this, as you know, we are having an adopt-a-thon this month, and animals can be adopted for $13. And we're very we want to encourage folks if you to come and to adopt a pet. We've got just an overflow of animals at the Animal Care Center, and we certainly could use folks, if they can adopt a pet, to come walk some dogs, pet some cats. All our facilities, we're looking, there's opportunities to upgrade. And if that individual thinks that's an important item, they need to weigh in on the survey.
Yeah, the Pima Animal Care Center has been overwhelmed this month with animals, a lot of young animals, and this is a great opportunity, $13. One of the ACE volunteers who does walk the dog out there is Nancy Young Wright, former state lawmaker, who's going to come on the program Monday to talk about animal advocacy. We really need more people like Nancy who step up to go out there, and really, she's really taken this on as a cause, and Sharon, we commend her for that.
I absolutely do, and she has been a trooper in this effort. And I think the other one who has really been just advocating very strongly is Councilmember Steve Kozacek.
Okay.
We appreciate his advocacy as well.
All right, Sharon, stick around. We're going to do another segment with Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you'd like to weigh in, it's coming up on 12:17. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson from District 3 is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. We've been talking about the bond survey. If you'd like to take part in the survey, it's pima.gov/bond survey. A caller who did not want to go on the air, Supervisor Bronson, asks, what kind of money are we talking about? How much money is available during this bond push right now?
A good question, and one that I can't give a definitive answer to at this point. It's going to depend on the assessed valuations and how we hold the tax rate steady, but we are probably looking in the neighborhood of $500 million plus over at least a 10-year period, so it's not all at once.
Caller also wanted to know, what is the total value of bonds since 1997? Do you have any idea what that might be?
What the total value of the bonds? That you're talking to an accountant, so value has... that's a hard question to answer, but we've gone up for $350 million. I mean, I'd have to look it up, but we are probably close to over the time period, we're probably approaching $750 million. And it's probably not since 1997. That's a number that probably came in earlier in the 90s. So, I think the good news in this instance is this is an ideal time to go out for bonds. This is an opportunity because the interest rates are low. And many of our current bond projects have come in below cost because the interest rates are lower. And we pay off our bonds. Most municipalities and government jurisdictions use a 20 to 30-year window. We pretty much pay off our bonds in 10 years. So we're fiscally responsible, and I think we've delivered on our promises to voters. You know, part of that 1997, we're talking some HERF revenue issues, which makes it difficult for me to give you a definitive answer. But the reality is we handle this in a very fiscally conservative, responsible way.
All right. I want to quickly switch subjects here about Rosemont. The majority of the board has been on record since the beginning opposing the Rosemont mine, and Rosemont, it looks like now, seems to be on a fast track to get their mine in the Santa Rita Mountains. What do you say to these people who are opposed to the mine? Do they still have some hope?
We are certainly concerned. It does appear to be on a fast track. The Forest Service on July 1 held a meeting with cooperating agencies to discuss the timeline for the review of the EIS. They gave the cooperating agencies 30 days to respond. And that's just, it's really not possible for us to respond in 30 days because there have been significant changes to that document. We understand that Upchurch has given us an additional 15 days. We have until August 15th. But what that means is it's only the cooperating agencies. There's not going to be a time for the public to respond. We have serious concerns about transportation. There still were no disclosures of impacts to city and county roads. We have concerns about air quality. We know we are going to exceed ozone levels. We think there are significant other issues with dark skies and impacts to observatories. There were significant mine design changes. They haven't addressed reclamation and bonding. And many of the statements in the preliminary administrative final EIS have been mischaracterized, at least as we view it. I think that Jim Upchurch needs to understand there has to be an extended public comment period. These issues have to be addressed. I'm just very concerned. This is not in the best interest of the region. And as you know, ADEQ won't release some secret Rosemont emails exchanged with Brewer's office regarding the air quality issues. So there are real issues that haven't been addressed, and this seems to be on a fast track. And I frankly think it's not good for the region.
There are some changes that I understand take place at the end of September as far as commenting period is, and that I've heard that Rosemont is trying to get this in before the end of September to perhaps mitigate that.
That's what we understand also. There will be some rules changes beginning October 1st. My understanding also is that the Fauna Autumn Nation has requested a 60-day continuance at least and has expressed that concern in a letter to Mr. Upchurch. He has yet to respond, it's my understanding. So there, we need some transparency. I think in the past there has been a more rational, slower response so that we get all the information. I'm hopeful that Mr. Upchurch will extend that comment period. And I think if Rosemont can meet the mitigation requirements, well, then show us how.
All right. We've only have about a minute to go with Sharon Bronson. Chuck is up on the Buckmaster Show live line. Real quickly, Chuck, with Sharon Bronson.
Yeah, Supervisor Bronson, now that you've listed all the bad things about Rosemont, can you tell us any good things? Thank you.
Until they answer the questions, it's hard for me to tell you anything good. They need to respond to those issues. If they can and they can do it well, then there will be good things, but they have yet to respond.
Some would say the good things would be the jobs, Sharon Bronson.
Well, the jobs, but the jobs at what cost to the community in the long term, and they have yet to respond to those issues.
Okay, there was one other issue I wanted to tackle. Really don't have time. It's about this new interstate, Interstate 11. I think the bottom line is you've been quoted as saying, where's the money going to come from for this interstate? Does that pretty much characterize it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we can do all the long-range planning. I mean, obviously, there are some serious issues as we discuss the route, but we can do all the long-range planning we want, but all those plans will sit on the shelf until we have a plan to pay for it. And today, and that's a brilliant issue for the state legislature to address, today they have been unwilling. If you can't pay for it, then why do the planning?
Okay, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Again, it's pima.gov/bondsurvey to weigh in on what the residents of Pima County would like to see as far as the upcoming bond election. Sharon Bronson, thank you for being with us. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir is coming up next with our Blogger Beat segment. We have a lot to talk with David about. That's coming up right after this. Rich Thomason in Washington. Experts say the blowout and fire at a natural gas well off the coast of Louisiana will not necessarily carry much of an environmental impact. For one thing, officials say they're seeing no sheens near the well during flyovers of the area earlier today. President Obama accuses Congress of being less concerned about the economy than about what he calls an endless parade of distractions, political posturing, and phony scandals. But Republicans say Mr. Obama is offering little more than vague, empty promises concerning the economy. The British throne may eventually be occupied once again by a King George. The new baby boy, who was born Monday to Prince William and his wife Kate, has been named George Alexander Louis. Wall Street, the Dow up 42 points, the NASDAQ up 1. More details at srnnews.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Music. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34, our midweek edition Wednesday here on KVOI AM 1030. And joining me in the KVOI studios, David Safir, columnist for the award-winning blog for Arizona.com. David is also a columnist for the Northwest Explorer newspaper. Once a month, David joins us on the Buckmaster Show for our Blogger Beat segment. David is one of two dozen folks we are very proud to have associated with the Buckmaster Show. Please, we invite you to check out the complete list with their bios and pictures at buckmastershow.com. David, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you. And let's start with the Arizona Supreme Court. On their plate yesterday was funding for public education. It's a fight that most immediately affects whether state lawmakers, David, are required to annually adjust education funding. On one side, we had representatives for the state of Arizona. On the other, we had legal representatives for several school districts.
Oh, it's phenomenal. This is a jaw-dropping display of the kind of anti-public school ardor that we see from our Republicans. In the year 2000, there was a voter-approved proposition, I don't remember the number exactly, which said that the state has to either raise the amount of the budget for inflation or some other figure or something like that, went on until 3 years ago. 3 years ago, the state was having trouble balancing the budget, so they stole money, swept up money from all kinds of agencies, and they just said, okay, we're going to ignore this inflation guideline. Excuse me, mandate. I shouldn't say guideline.
Yeah, mandate of the people. The people voted on this, and now the legislature wants to change it.
So up till now, depending on who you're talking to, somewhere between $180 million and $250 million have been denied to the schools. This isn't extra money. This is money just to keep up, just like I need more money to keep up as inflation goes up. Well, they had to put in $82 million in this budget, and now they're going to the Supreme Court saying, we want that money back. And their arguments, if you read the Howie Fisher article in the paper today, are just laughable. It's almost like the judges are having trouble containing their mirth as they're arguing against
this. Yeah, like this quote, they got the voters to vote on their bad language, and now they're trying to disavow their bad language.
The legislators apparently wrote the proposition, and now they're saying, well, we wrote it badly enough that we want to ignore it. I mean, this is – we're in – I don't know how many students there are of Franz Kafka out there. I'm an old English teacher, but we're in Franz Kafka land here, definitely.
So there was no decision. There never is usually in these matters that's taken under advisement by the Arizona Supreme Court. We have no idea how long they may
– I don't know. Meanwhile, the money is in the budget, and so it will stay there until it's yanked out. And by the way, I should say $82 million is really a big chunk of change, but when you translate it – it comes out to $60 per student. That's how many students we have in this state. So it's not like they're going to give lavish amounts, $60 more for every individual student. Not a lot of money.
David Safir is with us, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, David is a columnist for Blog for Arizona, named by the Washington Post as the best political blog site in the state of Arizona. David, as you know, I had the opportunity on our Friday Focus interview to sit down for the first time with H.T. Sanchez, the young man who is now heading up the TUSD district. I was very impressed with the guy.
Well, I listened to that, and he sounded very good there, and I had gone to the forum that caused so much hubbub as well when he talked to anybody in the community who wanted to come. This is a very, very, very intelligent man, and I'm sure you understood that from talking to him. He was a bit cautious when he talked to you. He didn't make any pronouncements, but he showed his grasp and his understanding and also his, and I'm going to use the word wit in the proper meaning of the term, meaning his intelligence and sharpness. And also he's got, I think, a kind of wicked sense of humor too. But the thing that impresses me most is what he did yesterday in response to John Hoopenthal and the State Department. The TUSD is putting together a new culturally relevant curriculum. They have to, based on a federal court order. And we know that Hoopenthal is going to resist it until it gets watered down to where he will accept it. And H.C. Sanchez, I won't go into all the details, but basically he said, well, if you don't like our curriculum, show us how it's done. It was like, oh, wise one, tell us. Well, the fact is, I would doubt seriously if the State Department has or the Department of Education has really a better laid out curriculum than this very well laid out curriculum. And then Sanchez says, listen, what we came up with isn't perfect. Nothing's perfect. No curriculum is perfect, but it's a work in progress. It's good enough to start. I'm pleased with it. I'm proud of it. And I have to tell you, I was very proud of Sanchez for being both so diplomatic and assertive at the same time. Didn't get in Hoopenthal's face, just kind of threw the ball back in his court. Very, very nice work.
And meantime, TUSD this week postponed the implementation of the culturally relevant curriculum until some of these answer, I guess, now to see how Superintendent Hoopenthal will react.
Well, they did it in a really, again, I have to say I'm impressed because they did put off starting the culturally relevant history part. They're going to put in the language arts part already, but they've got it all in place. In other words, students have signed up to be part of the culturally relevant history courses with teachers who are already trained in this curriculum. So they said, if we decide not to go with it, if Hoopenthal has some objections we think are relevant, we won't do it. But if we want to, and as soon as the board says yes, we can, just like that, the next day, the next week, begin this curriculum because the wheels are in place. So they did what I think is a spectacular and surprising to me job of kind of working out a very complex situation. So the ability to go either way with school starting what in
a couple of days?
Yeah, August 1st. So it's almost started. And so they've done this very, very nicely, I think.
And school started last week in the Vail School District. And we spoke with Superintendent Calvin Baker here on the program on Monday. And we talked about how Vail is aggressively converting public schools to charter schools. This is all about money.
I would say that's slightly more cynical than I'll go. But yes, it's 90% about money.
Okay.
But basically, you're going to get $1,000 more per student if you go to a charter school, if you're a public school. And we don't want to get too much into the finances of charters versus traditional public schools. It gets very complicated. But it certainly is a bonus. And while TUSD hasn't done it yet, they're in the process of reopening Ritchie School as a charter school in coordination with the Pascua-Yaqui tribe. And they have talked about others. They've talked about possibly changing Monzo to a charter school. And really, more than anything, it's about the money. These schools have been starved by these legislators who want to take away the $82 million they had to, you know, they were thrown into a headlock and had to put in there. And they've been starving the schools. The schools are very, very wise, I think, to find any way they can get more funding.
And Vail would have about one-third of their schools, I think that's about right, would be charters. Cave Creek up in the Phoenix area has really gone really heavy into the conversion.
Yeah, they have. And some people are really taking advantage of it quickly. There's a worry that the state will take away this little extra because the state is not famous for doing things that are going to help school districts, so they don't like that. Mind if I go into a little pet peeve here for
sure.
A moment? Okay. In the article that you talked about with Superintendent Baker, and which was in the Star about this charter school conversion, Eileen Sigmund, she's the president of the Arizona Charter Schools Association, a heavily privately funded nonprofit association. She kind of wagged her finger at districts and said, and this is a quote, "The reason we have charters is to improve student achievement and provide parents a choice. A charter is a contract to improve student achievement." She is writing the myth that has been propounded by her and others that charter schools are doing a better job than the traditional public schools. A recent study out of Stanford University looked at charter schools across the country and said there may be a slight advantage to students in charter schools across this country, but in Arizona, similar students compared head-to-head in charter schools and traditional public schools. In charter schools, there is 10% less achievement, lower achievement. So if Eileen Zigman wants traditional public schools and school districts to meet charter schools, I'm afraid they're going to have to lower the quality of their education. It just fries me when people say promote myths like this.
Because the perception, of course, is that you're going to get a better education for your young people in a charter school versus a public school.
Study after study after study have been done ever since the Bush administration, and there hasn't been a serious study that shows overall nationwide all the schools that charter schools do a better job than traditional public schools and school districts. And there are a few areas. You'll find one city where they do better, another city they do worse. You balance it all together. There's simply no truth to the myth that charter schools are superior.
When we come back with David Safir, a blog for Arizona, the governor is calling for peace. Governor Brewer wants peace in the Republican Party before next year's primaries over this Medicaid expansion. Also, how it has divided the party over Common Core curriculum. That's coming up with David Safir, a blog for Arizona. But first, let's hear from the lineup of people that support the Buckmaster Show. Please give them your support.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and 3 juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Here we go. 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir is with us from Blog for Arizona, the award-winning Blog for Arizona. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready for really all the, it's really one of the big events of the year over there. It's a clay festival, everything to do with pottery. Of course, they have a world-class collection of Mimbres, prehistoric pottery over at Western New Mexico University in Silver City. So Silver City, really a natural place for this clay festival, which gets underway next week, July 27th, and runs through August the 4th. Silver City's only 3 hours east of Tucson, depending on where you are in the Tucson Valley. And here's the good part this time of year, 15 degrees cooler. The rains have come. The Gila National Wilderness all greened up. It's really pretty over there. Many nice places to stay, including Silver City KOA, Pinos Altos Cabins, and Bear Paw Ranch. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. David, let's talk a little bit about this rift that continues to grow in the Republican Party. Governor Brewer has sent a letter to an email to GOP officials urging, please, let's have peace in the family as we get ready for next year's GOP primary. But I'm telling you, this Medicaid expansion will be and is right now the big issue.
I absolutely agree. And what we're seeing here, excuse me, is a microcosm from what I think is going on across the country. If you look at immigration reform in the Congress, if you look at any number of other issues, there are rifts now in the among the Republicans. I mean, it's pretty well known that immigration reform would pass the House of Representatives if they were allowed to vote on it. And the question is whether John Boehner is going to allow a vote to come up. That means Republicans would vote for it. But here, I am not sure I've got this right, but I think that Brewer may be the only Republican governor who allowed Medicaid expansion in her state. And whether she's the only one or not, she certainly is in the minority, did what I think was the right thing to do. And this was actually covered this Sunday in the New York Times in an article called Republicans in Arizona Are at Odds on Medicaid. It's a huge deal. I was sitting down, by the way, this is just a sidelight, with someone who's a really good conservative Republican, not a elected official, but someone who's involved in the party. And he looked at me and said, I can't believe Brewer did this. Why in the world would she do something like this? He was literally beside himself. It's for real. They really mean it. And it's going to cause problems. And to be honest, the problems are going to be more for the Republicans than the Democrats. And the Democrats could reap a small harvest from this in Arizona.
However, I do think that even after the primaries, this will emerge as an issue in, say, the gubernatorial race. And I spoke with Fred Duvall yesterday. I think he's pretty much right now the lone Democratic candidate for governor. Pretty much Democratic leadership is lined up behind Fred.
Chad Campbell in the legislature would disagree with you highly.
He's got an exploratory campaign?
He has. And according to him, he actually has polls that says that he's ahead of Duvall. But
wow.
I'm just telling you what I saw out there. But Chad Campbell would want to have his name brought up here, so I'm doing
definitely
it for him.
And thank you for doing that. But I think that whoever emerges in the Democratic primary and out of the Republican Party, Doug Ducey, the Republican state treasurer, has formed an exploratory committee. So whether it's Doug Ducey or another Republican versus Deval or Chad Campbell, this Medicaid expansion will be a big issue.
And it's going to be something to watch because it's going to go into effect. People are going to start benefiting from it. Republicans are going to say, we don't want you to have it, and we're going to try to take it away from you. I don't know if it's going to wake up a sleeping giant or not. Even seniors who are on Medicare have benefited from Obamacare. That's different from the Medicaid expansion. And they're starting to see their donut hole close, and they're starting to see that they're getting more in terms of preventive physicals and things like that, and starting to like it. So it's a lot of it has to do with the PR, but I think that in the long term, if not the short term, this is part of a schism that's happening in the Republican Party and is going to hurt it. There was kind of a monolithic quality to the Republican Party for a long time. And right now that monolith is breaking down because, well, let me read you something from that Times article. Chuck Coughlin is a political consultant who worked with Brewer and is one of her main advisors. And here's what he said about these people who are opposing Brewer. Tell me if this sounds conciliatory. This is in the New York Times. Ideologues have their agendas, he said, and the part of the party that's taking issue with the governor right now is all made up of ideologues.
Wow.
Ouch. You know, if I said
fighting
that, somebody would call me a partisan.
Yeah,
but this is Chuck
fighting
Coughlin,
words to
good,
many in the Republican Party, believe me. Common Core curriculum, you wrote a column in last week's Explorer about it. Is this also a dividing point?
Well, that guy I was talking to, the conservative, is beside himself on Common Core as well. And right now, Hoopenthal is going on a PR campaign across the state, talking to Republicans everywhere. He's talked in Southern Arizona. He's talked all over the place, pushing Common Core that he supports and that Brewer supports, but Glenn Beck doesn't like. I don't know about Rush Limbaugh. A lot of conservatives are against. And here's the funny news flash. I happen to be against it, too. And there are people on the left, including a lot of educators, and people on the far right who are against it. And in the middle, Obama and his Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, and our Superintendent of Education, Hoopenthal, and Brewer, and all kinds of people are for it. This is creating a very, very – talk about strange bedfellows. Whenever I agree with Glenn Beck on anything, even if it's for different reasons, and it is for different reasons, we got something funny going on.
Why do you oppose Common Core curriculum?
It is a – codification and a strengthening of the testing that has become so rife and so destructive to our educational system because it's become so over it's become so much a part of everything that we do that if it ain't on the test, it doesn't matter. And everything we do is to get better test scores. The Common Core, I don't mind the standards. I don't mind having people saying this is where every third grader should be and this is where every 10th grader should be. But I do mind someone saying, and therefore, nationally, we're going to come up with one specific test that everyone is going to be have to take and going to be beholden to. I was just reading today, 3 or 4 or 5 Republican-based states are pulling out of the Common Core. They say we're not going to do the Common Core exams. This is a story that most people haven't looked at as carefully as other stories, but you're going to be hearing more about the Common Core.
So Republicans, Brewer and Hoopenthal, at odds with other Republicans and in other states who say they don't want anything to do with Common Core.
In a number of them. I don't have the names, but Georgia and Kentucky and Utah, all these states are pulling out of the Common Core testing. And I'm not sure if Brewer, again, is going to be the outlier, but this is getting a little bit deep in the weeds, but Craig Barrett, who is her main education advisor and the ex-CEO of Intel, he was one of the people who actually crafted Common Core. So she's got somebody talking into her ear that very much is a supporter.
And the Common Core curriculum has to be implemented by when?
Good question.
Probably the next year or so.
Arizona is transitioning now from the Ames test and our standards to the Common Core test and the Common Core standards. And exactly where that transition is going and when it will happen, I don't know. But it's going to be a source of contention. And again, it's going to tear apart the Republican Party more than the Democratic Party. Because I think even the Democrats who are for it are kind of lukewarm. But the Republicans who are against it, watch out.
David Safir, thank you very much. Folks can find David and his his writings at blogforarizona.com. And your piece in the Explorer, your pieces usually appear, what, every?
Once a month.
Once a month. Okay. In the Explorer. We will look for that. David, thank you very much. Pleasure having you on the program. Always interesting topics. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. David Saphir from blogforarizona.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. We thank Culligan Water, better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a cooling, chilled bottle of Culligan. Thanks, Culligan. John C. Scott Show comes up this afternoon from 3 to 5 here on KVOI The Voice. Michael Medved Show is coming up next. And then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Tomorrow at 12:04, our lead interview will be with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick. Then we'll speak with Fletcher McCusker, who is the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. And also we'll talk about this plan, the state land swap that may be in the deal to bring a Union Pacific large rail yard to Red Rock in Pinal County. All of that tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.